Today's episode is brought to you by Musical Theater Radio's merch store. Looking for that perfect gift for someone or just want to treat yourself to some great musical theater themed merch? Head to musicaltheaterradio.com and click on the All Things Theater button on the homepage and check out all the different designs available. And now, today's interview. Welcome back to another episode of Be Our Guest here on Musical Theater Radio. I am your host, as always, Jean-Paul Yovanoff. If you watched the Tony Awards, you probably saw our next guest kill it on stage with their show-stopping Tony Award-winning performance of Let It Burn from Paradise Square. Now, you might have also seen her in The Color Purple back in 2015, and you'll soon be able to hear her on the new Chelina Kennedy, Eric Holmes world premiere recording of Wild About You. It gives me great pleasure to welcome to the show, Joaina Calicango. Hello, and welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Oh, no problem, no problem. All right, before we get into all the fun stuff, we want to get to know you a little bit better. So I always ask my guests for a 30-second bio. So my question is, who are you in 30 seconds?
Well, I am a first-generation Angolan American born here in Atlanta, Georgia. I went to Juilliard for acting in New York, and then I started doing a lot of Broadway and theater, from musicals to plays, and did some TV and film. And I guess I'm a mother, I'm a daughter, I'm an Aquarius, and I'm an artist, I'm a creator.
Have you always been into musical theater, or is that something you discovered a little bit later in life?
No, that's something I contribute to my middle school counselor. She saw me at a talent show, and it was a horrible talent show. I had to sing this song, I think, For You I Will, and I didn't have like a karaoke track. I only had the recording of the artist Monica singing it, so like you barely could hear my voice. And she was like, I think you should audition for the Performing Arts High School. Thank goodness she said that, because once I auditioned, we got to do such incredible work like Serafina, Raising the Musical. I mean, August Wilson plays. I had no idea that you could make a life and career out of the arts. And I had never seen a play before then. So it literally at 14, it changed my life.
Did you win the talent contest?
No, are you kidding? I didn't even place. You couldn't hear me. Didn't even place.
So I'm like, wait, I'm always curious. Did the winner of that talent contest, did they win a Tony? I don't think so. Or maybe they did. I don't know. Did you ever find that?
I know of.
Oh man, and you listed off Serafina and Raisin. I love Raisin. That's one of my favorite cast recordings to listen to. There's so many great songs on there.
It really is. It's one of my favorite musicals. The music is gorgeous, like you said, and it's only been done once. It's crazy. We get so many iterations of a Raisin in the Sun, but you rarely get to see the musical Raisin. And so, yeah, who knows? Maybe they'll do a revival at some point.
Oh, if there is, I would come and see it, because like I said, I love that. More people need to know about that cast recording. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. People don't. But so you went on to what did you do after high school? Actually, I'm more curious. Was there anything else you wanted to do? Is there any other career you thought about going into?
I think for a brief second, I thought about anthropology and stuff. But other than that, not really.
Yeah.
It was like once I got in at 14, because I was a captain of the drill team, which is like a dance team in the United States. And then once I got to high school and auditioned for theater, there was no question about it that this was something I wanted to do, to get to study different cultures, different people, to study people, to make people feel what I felt when I watched these shows. I mean, it was literally like you would, I don't know a career that just allows so much learning in it in each time. And I'm a person who gets bored easily, so I like to switch it up, you know? And I'm like, this is the perfect career for me.
So you moved to New York to go to school. Well, I'm always curious because I'm in Toronto. So Toronto to New York, I find there's such a difference. Did you find a big difference moving from where you were to New York?
Absolutely. So I was born and raised in Atlanta, Georgia, and it's the South. It's warm. People are kind. It's sweet teas and lemonades. It's people greeting you as you walk outside. Hi, how was your day? And New York was just the complete opposite. It was cold. There were buildings all the way up into the sky. It felt like you could barely see the sun sometimes. And I remember I would have to go into Central Park to just kind of feel to kind of get grounded again, because it was the only place where I could see trees and wildlife, and you know what I mean, where I
Right.
felt like at peace. So I mean, it was mind-blowing to be dropped in the middle of a place where there are so many different cultures and people, and it was so fast-paced. And I mean, like, literally the transition from driving in your car every day to taking the subway everywhere is just a whole nother thing in and of itself. So it was absolutely difficult, I would say, for the first 2 years for me to adjust. But then it was like I had to adjust once I got like to my fourth year in New York. Coming back home, I became so impatient about things. I was like, everybody's like in my family, whoa, chill. You're back down south. Take it easy. Things are gonna take time. Everybody's more laid back. It's so interesting.
That's awesome. So let's talk about that first taste of Broadway. What was that show?
So my first Broadway show, I understudied in Godspell at Circle in the Square. And it was the most magical experience ever. I couldn't have asked for a better Broadway debut. Like, the audition process was full of improv, which terrified me. So I don't even know how I made it in those rounds, to be quite honest. We had to like improv parables, which was really insane. And it was just the most, I think, creative process, because you were literally finding any and every way to tell these amazing stories that we've all heard and learned. And there was so much freedom in that. And I think for that to be my first show just kind of let that be, the sky's the limit. You can create and manifest anything you'd like to do. And not to mention like the artists that were surrounded in there, from Uzo to Lindsay Mendez to Morgan James. I mean, these were just incredible voices and people that I got to study every day. And not to mention like having six different women's voices in your brain trying to adjust. Is it alto today, soprano today? And like having those. So hats off to understudies and swings, because it is not an easy job. And that was my first job. And I remember I will always have that in my heart as a special place. It was a beautiful time.
That's fantastic. I'm always curious. You like I said, you were in the Color Purple in the 2015 revival. When you do a revival, how is that? How do you experience that as you are following up another production already, which was, a really big one? What's that like as an actor?
Well, I think what made this process so easy was the fact that this production, our iteration of The Color Purple, was so stripped down. There were literally just chairs essentially on the stage, and our director just made it about us as artists and trying to tell this story. There was no wigs to transition from being, 12 to however 60 years old. We had to do it essentially with just who we are. I never changed clothes the entire process. So it truly was freeing in the sense that you could just be and trust your artistry. And I think having that level of pressure, because if you saw the original production, it was absolutely gorgeous. Just thinking of all of the magic and the trees and all of the people on that stage, our version was so stripped down that it just was felt like a completely different retelling of it. So there wasn't, at least to me, you couldn't compare the two, in any kind of way, because it was just a completely different version of it. And I think that freed us, then to allow us to play because all we have was each other on that stage. Another one of those things where it's just like all we got is each other. Let's tell this story. And essentially, that's all you're trying to do as an artist is just to tell the story in the most honest, authentic way possible. And that's what John Doyle did by stripping it down, I think. And we really heard the story. And yeah.
As an actor and even as an audience member, seeing a gorgeous set and costumes and everything's fantastic, but when you strip it down as an audience member just watching it, it's so much more, I don't know, it's just more powerful because you have to work so much harder, and when you pull it off, wow, it's incredible.
Yeah.
So let's move on to Paradise Square. Because we're getting closer to the cast recording, but this was the middle step to meet people. What was that show like? I got to see it. I was lucky enough to see it in May of 2022 on stage, and congratulations on that. That the show was incredible. But that was a that was that one of your first new works, or have you done new works before? And what was that like to work on something like that?
I had been in productions of new works, things that I've developed before, like Holler If You Hear Me was a musical that was very short-lived that I was a part of the process, and another musical as well as developing plays too. So I had been a part of new plays, but this was I think completely different for a couple of reasons. One, it was coming straight out of COVID, so for a lot of us, not being in your body for 2 years, not even knowing if you're going to survive, if this thing was ever going to go away and come back, to mentally be prepared to feel like you were okay to be in a space again, to create again was I think a hard mental switch, at least for me, to have to come into. So I had to immediately, I asked my dance teacher, I was like, can I take some from high school? I was like, can I take some of your classes this summer to just like help me get in my body again? And I immediately contacted Joan later to be my vocal coach because this was the first time that I was gonna lead a musical. And I just wanted to make sure that I had everything that I needed to live up to this moment. And as soon as I heard the music, I mean, it's gorgeous. The fact that it was a New York story, it was a true story. It felt so important to the times with everything that we were dealing with in the US at that time. And the process was really insane. To be honest, we were like in Chicago and New York, and we were putting new songs and exchanging old songs, that's the fun and excitement, you know, right? You like sing one song one day, and they're like, okay, let's put in this new song tonight. Here you go. Let's try it. And it's amazing because everyone is game, and the artists were just such incredible artists. Like we had. I don't even know what you would call them. I mean, they were just, I feel like they were athletes. The way that they would move their bodies and sing to do that every night was in and of itself just a master class to be on stage with such artistry and such people who cared so much about the craft and the story. And yeah, it was truly a beautiful learning experience. One about learning how to own a moment, how to have confidence in yourself, how to release fear. I think all of those things were like lessons that I had to learn as a person and embodying this character to step into that moment. So it was truly a growing, beautiful experience.
Nice. You got into the show, it ran. And what when did you find out about the Tony Award nomination? What kind of reaction did you have to that?
Oh gosh, I'm trying to remember. Oh, I was it was my mom and my son. We were like at the kitchen table just like drinking orange juice and something and watching it. And we saw it, and my sister was on FaceTime. So she FaceTimed me too. And when we heard it was literally like I don't know, it was an out of body experience, I think, at that time. You're just like, thank goodness, yay. There is hope. And we got so many nominations. So for everybody to fully get recognized, it was such a blessing because it really, people don't understand that that show has been in development for 10 years before I even joined. And so to have that kind of recognition for, I think, all that were involved in the process from the beginning stages on, the amount of work it takes to create a new work, to get it up, to have the backing is truly one that I don't think people, a lot of people know about. It's hard. And so to receive that kind of recognition from the community is beautiful.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And then of course, we know what happened. You got to the award show and you killed in that performance. I watched it again on YouTube. Wow. For the performance that night. And then of course you won. And did you write a speech ahead of time, or was that off the cuff?
No, I think because 2 years prior, I was nominated, and then I wrote a speech, and I was like, I don't want to do this again. I was like, I don't know how it's gonna turn out. I do not know. And my sister kept asking me that week, like, did you write it? Did you write it? I'm like, no, I didn't write it. I'm not gonna write it. I don't know what's gonna happen. We're gonna let it be. But yeah, it very much was an out of body experience. I don't remember anything that I said. I try not to like watch it because I was truly just in the moment, which was it's beautiful to be sometimes.
And the biggest question is, where's the award now? Where do you have it displayed?
On my desk in my office. I haven't on
Yes.
display yet. I'll get an award room later and put it on display. But right now it's just like sitting on my desk next to my pens.
That's awesome. Well, let's talk about this world premiere recording of Wild About You with Chilina and Eric. How did you get approached by this? Did Chilina just give you a call up, send you an email? How did that come about?
She did. She gave me a call up. And the crazy thing about this was when we shared a room in Paradise Square. We shared a dressing room together. So while we were doing Paradise Square, Shalina was writing this music. She literally was creating this music in the room. And so I was just like, you are incredible. How are you doing this? Like doing 8 shows a week and then creating a whole new music. Like, who does this? Of course, Shalina. And so when she approached me, I immediately I'm gonna say yes, because I think she's such an incredible artist and a voice that needs to be heard. And she told me to that the song that I would sing was What I'm Here to Find. And I think the bond we share is we're both mothers and mothers of son of a son specifically. And this specific moment is in the musical where this mother realized that the greatest love of her life is her son, and she remembers him from losing her memory. And so to sing this song is such an honor, for so many reasons. But yeah, I absolutely had to say yes to anything Shalina says to because she's incredible.
So true. Were you when you were recording it, was it just you there, or was other people there? Were you singing with the other? Because that what an incredible star-studded group of people on this
It's
album.
insane, right? It's fully insane.
Yeah.
And they've recorded it pretty much all over, from the US to Canada to everywhere. We're all kind of all over. I recorded it in Atlanta, and Shalina and Daniel were on Zoom basically while I was at a recording studio in Atlanta, and we got to record it that way.
Oh
So
wow.
yeah, so it was really lovely.
So you didn't even get to meet any of the people. You're just all on the album together.
No, not at all.
Oh man.
So when everybody hears it, we'll all hear it together for the first time. Like, what?
Well, maybe when they do a launch party for it, you'll all get together and just listen to it in the same room. And
I
that's
hope so.
Yeah. Now, did you feel any extra pressure because of the Shalina show? You always want to do it right, but when there's somebody did you just really want to get it right with her staring at you from Zoom? Like, how was that like?
Oh, absolutely. But you know, I the thing that I love, I think about Shalina is she trusts the people that, she picks. And I think she trusts in our artistry. And so for us, of course, we're always going to want to put in the work because this is her baby. This is her creation. And so you approach it how you approach every single thing that you do. And you get in there and you say, is this right? Can we have some liberties? Or how do you feel about this? And she'll tell you. And it's such a beautiful beautiful thing, I think, to create together and to hear her say, "Oh yeah, I like this color. Let's try this and try, or let's change this line in the room." And that's what's always exciting about creating and doing the works.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing the album when it comes out and adding it to our radio station's rotation and introducing
Me
it to the
too.
rest of the world as well. So do you have anything going on right now? Are you working on any projects that you're allowed to talk about? What have you got in the pipeline?
Well, what I do have some things in the pipeline, but the one thing I can talk about
I know, that's
that
always
will
the thing.
be next month is I'm doing my debut concert at the Cafe Carlyle in New York from September 26th through the 30th, and I'm very excited about that. So I'll be singing a lot of different tunes from Broadway to country to some international songs. It's going to be like a great mix of just music that I love that has influenced me. And funny enough, Raisin is also going to be in there. I'll be singing some songs from there. So yay!
We more again, people need to hear these songs and then they'll
Yeah.
listen to the album. That's awesome. Is there a place they can find out about tickets for this yet, or how
Oh
can they
yes,
find
you
out more
can
about you
visit.
in that?
Yes, you can visit, of course, the Cafe Carlyle website, and it'll immediately pull it up. Or you can go to my Instagram at Jakina Kalukango, and it is in my link in my bio, takes you directly to the tickets to click it. Please get your tickets.
If I was in New York at that time, I problem is I'm not down there till October. So unless you extend the run, yeah, I'm stuck.
Listen, we'll see what the cafe is talking about.
Well, if we can promote it enough, get enough people to want tickets for another, month long run, are you okay with that? Let's see what we can do.
Oh, you know what? I'm always okay with that. As long as there's demand, absolutely.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on and talking about yourself and the cast recording and everything that's going on in your life. And it was a pleasure to meet you and all the best with everything going forward. And hopefully one day I'll see you in Raisin somewhere again.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
No problem. All right. Tune in next week as we'll speak with another guest or a guest about their life, love, and passion that is musical theater. I am your host, as always, Jean-Paul Jovanoff. And until next time, I'll see you when I see you.